So we're on the top of Daf Membeis Omid Aleph.
Yeah.
Lememra, the second word on the Daf.
Yes.
And let's just review what we know from Daf Mem Aleph Omid Beis. We have a statement of Rav and a dissenting view of Shmuel. And the question is about a kettle, a metal kettle, in which he boiled water before Shabbos, and now he empties the kettle on Shabbos. The kettle itself is still very, very hot. And Rav says that we allow him to pour cold water in order to take the chill out of the water. Not to heat up the water, because if water is heated up in this hot kettle, that would constitute a melacha d'oraisa of bishul. But if he adds enough of a volume of water that it'll just take off the chill from the water, but it won't heat up the water, that's okay. However, Rav adds another condition, and that is he has to guarantee that although it's a significant volume of water that he's pouring into this kettle, it's not too much water, because if the water goes all the way up to the top, then he might possibly, inadvertently, not intentionally, harden the kli, which is called mitzarev. And Rav reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda that Dover Sheinu Miskaven is asur. So even though he didn't have intention to harden the kli, which is called mitzarev, nevertheless, he cannot take the chances of violating that iser even without kavana because of Rabbi Yehuda. And Shmuel disagrees, and he says, no, we allow him to pour a massive volume of cold water into this hot kettle, the empty hot kettle, and his purpose is lahafshir, meaning just to take the chill out of the cold water. He's not going to boil the water, for sure, because he's putting in such a large volume of water. And Shmuel says, I don't care, even if he pours enough water that it hits the top of the vessel, and you're running the risk of possibly hardening the vessel and violating mitzarev. He says, no. He reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that Dover Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. So the Gemara asks, Lememra de Shmuel ki Rabbi Shimon svirle? Is it really possible to say that Shmuel accepts the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which means that Dover Sheinu Miskaven is mutter, and therefore we don't care if he pours a massive amount of cold water into this hot kettle, even if in the worst case scenario he'll come to be mitzari if he didn't have kavana? V'amar Shmuel, I'm going to prove to you that Shmuel does not accept the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And just by way of background, what we're talking here about in the following discussion of Shmuel is hezek derabim, which means that sometimes you have a dangerous object that's lying down in the middle of the street, and people could come by, and if they don't pay attention, they could get injured. It's not a life-threatening situation, but nevertheless, in order to protect the public health, we're going to be flexible on what's called a shavus derabanan, a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos. And therefore, Shmuel says, "Mechabin gacheles shel mateches b'shus harabim." If there's a hot piece of metal, we're allowing you, if this metal could be a danger for the public, people don't see it and it's burning hot, to extinguish it, which is called kibui. And the reason he's going to allow this is because A plus B, A, when it comes to metal substances, there's no melacha d'oraisa of kibui. And the reason for that is that you really can't cook a metal substance. So if there's no cooking or bishul, that means you can't burn it, really. Again, it gets burning hot, but it's not a change in the real essential molecular structure of the metal. And therefore, just like there's no avar, there's no burning, there's also no kibui. There is no violation of extinguishing. However, the Rabbanan prohibited it, but in the face of public safety, the Rabbanan will rescind their prohibition and allow you to put this out. Bishvil shelo yizuku ba'rabim. So the public should not damage themselves by chas v'shalom coming in contact with this burning piece of metal. But if this burning piece is subject to a malacha d'oraisa of kibui, because it's made not of metal but rather of wood, and with regard to wood, we have a malacha called mechabe. If you put out, extinguish a burning piece of wood, and therefore, which, by the way, that was the whole sugya that we had earlier in this parak about Shema Yechata B'Gecholim, that if you fire up your stove with wood, and then the wood, as it's burning, starts, you know, calming down, and he might be tempted to speed up the process of Bishul by stirring the wood or the coals, that would be a violation of Meleches Havara. That's because he's causing the fire to go up. If, on the other hand, he would extinguish the fire, the flip side of Havara is Meleches Kibui. We cannot, even for the sake of public safety, we're not allowed to violate a Melecha D'oraisa, except in the case of Pikuach Nefesh. So now the Gemara says, Isal Kedaitech Savra Laki Rebbe Shimon is Afilu Shal Eitz Nami. The Gemara analyzes what is the problem here on a d'oraisa level of extinguishing burning wood. This is a case of what's called melacha she'netzricha legufa. And what we mean to say is the following, that if you do a melacha not for the purpose that it was for which it was done in the Mishkan, like, for example, a classic case of malacha she'netzricha legufa would be what's called hotzas hames. The malacha of hotzah, when you take something out of a private domain and put it down in a rishus rabbin, was done in the Mishkan because the object had to get to where it had to get to. In the case of hotzas hames, he's not interested in putting the mess in a specific place, the corpse. He just has to get it out of here, out of the rishus hayachid. That's called a malacha she'netzricha legufa. And there are many cases throughout Masechet Shabbos that fit that bill. Here's another example. He's not really interested in the piece of wood. He just wants to make sure that no one gets damaged by coming in contact with this burning piece of wood. That's a Malacha She'netzricha Legufa. Now, Rabbi Shimon holds that just like a Dover She'netzricha Miskaven is on a d'oraisa level, that's fine, and it's permitted, so too in the case of Malacha she'netzricha legufa, where he doesn't have that intention that was intended in the Mishkan when they did that Malacha, Rabbi Shimon says that's okay on a d'oraisa level. Again, midrabbanan it's aser, patravel aser, but anyway, it's not a biblical violation. And if that be the case, then there's no difference really between Gacheles Shel Mateches and Gacheles Shel Eitz. The same principle should apply to permit you in both cases to extinguish this this hot piece of metal or hot piece of wood, because even in the worst case scenario, namely in the case of a hot piece of wood, which is subject to Meleches Kibui D'oraisa, but not in a case of Eino Tzricha Legufa, not in a case where he's just trying to protect himself and put out this very dangerous fire, he has no intention to save the Psila. Now again, here I just want to mention in passing, we don't have the time to go over this again, but you may recall the concept called Mipneshu Ose Pechom. So for example, when you extinguish a wick that's burning, because on the second time around when you light it again, it'll be superior. So what you're doing is you're, through the kibui of extinguishing the wick, you are improving the wick. That is the malacha of kibui d'oraisa, the biblical full-fledged malacha, because he needs the pechem, he needs the wick. But here he doesn't want to save the guy, the eights. He's not trying to rekindle the eights as he would rekindle a wick. So that's a malacha she'netzricha legufa. And the Gemara is lining up a double two-edged machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, two Tanoim that argue about two cases, and the Gemara thinks that they are dependent, interdependent. One machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding a davar ashein of miskaving. The other machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is regarding a malach ashein of tzricha legufa. And the Gemara thinks that in both cases Rav Shimon is consistently lenient, and Rav Yehuda is consistently stringent. Now, how could it be that Shmuel, in the case of Mitzarev, where he pours a great quantity of cold water into a hot, burning hot metal kettle, he's not worried about the possibility that he might come to violate Mitzarev, because Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon that it's a davar shein miskaven, he has no intention of hardening the vessel. And yet at the same time, Shmuel is telling us that in a gacheles shel eitz, when he extinguishes, he violates a doraisa, even though it's a malacha shein etzricha legufa, reflecting the shita Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel seems to be contradicting himself, and the Gemara says these are two independent debates. B'davar shein miskaven, as far as the great controversy regarding davar shein miskaven, savar lo k'Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel accepts Rabbi Shimon's kula, and therefore, even if you pour a vast amount of water into this hot kettle, and you fill up the water with the kettle with cold water, even up to the top, up to the brim, and therefore you run the risk of possibly violating a mitzarev, that's okay, says Shmuel, because it's a davar shein miskaven. And in davar shein miskaven, I accept Rabbi Shimon. But b'malacha shein tzricha legufa, to say that I have to have not just a kavana for creating this impact and for implementing this malacha, but moreover, my kavana has to be the same kavana for which the malacha was done in the Mishkan, that far we don't go. Savar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, he has full intention to extinguish this burning piece of wood. He violates a malacha d'oraisa. And Rabbi Yehuda's right. In this case, he's miskaven. He does have kavana for extinguishing. That's his entire purpose, because he doesn't want anyone to be harmed by this gachela shel eitz. But he would be in violation of a meleches kibui d'oraisa, because even if he doesn't have that very specific kavana, we don't have to fine-tune his kavana to guarantee that it is a mirror image of the kavana in the Mishkan. As long as he had kavana and he was interested in extinguishing it, it would be a violation of a melacha d'oraisa. So at the end of the day, just to summarize, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there are two independent machlokas in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. One machlokas is about davar shein miskaven, the other is about melacha shein tzricha legufa. And just to give you, Rabosai, a little bit of a flavor here, why davar shein miskaven is independent of melacha shein tzricha legufa, I would point to the fact that a davar shein miskaven, and that debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is not a Shabbos question. It's a question in Kol Yisurei Torah. For example, let's say a seller is wearing shatnez in order to carry, you know, the shatnez from one location to the other. That's also a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Or the whole issue about taking a certain medicine that might cause impotence, which is a problem of being misares, and he's not interested in that at all, and Rabbi Shimon is lenient. So the issue about davar shein miskaven is not a Shabbos issue per se. Masha Einkein, in contrast, melacha shein tzricha legufa, that has no parallel anywhere in any halachic discussion other than Shabbos. So these are two independent issues. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon in a davar shein miskaven lekula, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, melacha shein tzricha legufa lechumra. And by the way, it's interesting, that's how the Rambam paskins lahalacha, that davar shein miskaven is mutter, but melacha shein tzricha legufa is chayav. That's the Rambam's unique shita. Amar Avina. Now Ravina wants to extrapolate from the case of that burning piece of metal, which could harm the public, to a case of a kotz, which is some sort of a sharp object, like, for example, a knife. Kotz literally means a thorn, and it's out there in the public domain. So the Rabbanan are going to allow you to do something for the sake of public safety that normally the Rabbanan would say would be also if it wasn't in a public domain. And that is to carry something in a Rishus HaRabim less than Dalet Amos. The Rabbanan prohibit it because they're afraid if we allow you to carry something 2 Amos, then tomorrow, next Shabbos, you'll carry it 4 Amos. And here the Rabbanan are going to rescind their enactment for the sake of public safety. You find something dangerous in Rishus HaRabim, you're allowed to carry it 2 Amos, then take a breath, stop, again carry it another 2 Amos until you can finally remove it from the Rishus HaRabim. Move a Karmelis Afilu Tuva. If the area is not a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, but rather a Karmelis, which is only an Iser of Dalet Amos, Havaris Dalet Amos Durabonon, then you have a Durabonon. If you carry it 4 Amos without stopping in a Karmelis, and for the sake of public safety, they permitted you to do so, there's no need to put it down after 2 Amos and then pick it up because you're not in a Rishus HaRabim and you're not, in the worst case scenario, going to violate a biblical chatos, but rather a drabonin of Karmelis. Okay, now we start the new sugya. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to pour cold water into a kettle. And again, we have the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel under what conditions you're allowed to pour cold water into a kettle and what kind of volumes of cold water, because Rav is worried about Mitzarev. But in principle, if there's no issue of Mitzarev, you're pouring cold water in a kettle in order to take away the coldness of the water. You're not interested in heating the water to the point to which it boils. It gets really, really hot. And therefore you're permitted to do so. Now, what the Gemara wants to embark upon now is an analysis of the following question. On Shabbos, are you allowed to mix hot water and cold water? Do we have to be afraid that when you mix the two, the cold water is going to heat up? Let's say the hot water is very boiling hot. Or perhaps we could be more lenient and say, no, it's not that the cold water will heat up. On the contrary, the cold water will cool off the hot water. So what process is going on over here? Now, you and I would have said that both are happening. You know, the cold water is going to heat up, and the cold water is also going to cool off the hot water. But the Gemara has a principle called Gavar, Gimel Bet Resh. Gavar means that one process overwhelms the other process. And there is a primary process, and we have to define what that is. The principle that applies not only here in Shabbos, but also with regard to Yoredeya, with regard to Masech Techulin, and the Isur Basar B'Cholav, and cooking, and so forth, is called Tatoi Gavar. So we say there's a word Gavar, and we want to know which beats up which. Is the cold water beating up the hot water, or vice versa? And the answer is, it depends what's on the bottom. That's called tatoi. As tatoi. Excuse me. So that would mean that hot water pouring into cold water is not a problem, because then the cold water, the tatoi, is going to cool off the hot water. But the reverse, if you're pouring cold water into hot water, then the hot water tatoi is going to heat up the cold water. And I heard many times from my Rebbe that this has nothing to do with physics. These principles are purely halachic principles about what's called tsuras habishul, which means the halachic, legal, conceptual definition of what constitutes bishul. And the normal bishul is when you put cold into hot. You have a hot pot and you add some cold substances, whatever ingredients you want to get heated up in the pot, and that's called tatoi gavar. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a braisa, machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, and then Amir Tzashem, after we finish with Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, we're going to have Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who's the third Tana recorded in this braisa. So we start with Beit Shammai. No saying Adam Chamin L'toch Tzone V'lo Tzone L'toch Chamin. Divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is basically applying the principle that we mentioned before, Tatoi Govar, and he's not going to allow you to pour cold water into hot water, because the hot water on the bottom heats up the cold water, but the reverse, namely pouring hot water into cold water, applying the same principle of Tatoi Govar, means the cold water on the bottom is going to cool off the hot water that's coming in from on top. Beis Hillel Omrim, Bein chamin l'toch tzonein, ubein tzonein l'toch chamin mutter. Now wait a second. This is problematic. Beis Hillel is going to go a step further. Not only are you allowed to pour hot water into cold water, but Beis Hillel permits you to pour cold water into hot water. How could that be? Did Beis Hillel forget, ignore that basic principle that's all over Shas, that's called Tatoi Govar? How can he allow you to pour cold water into hot water? And Beis Hillel now addresses that question. When are we going to allow this? That's only because. So you have now cold water that is being poured into a cup of boiling hot water. Aval Bambati. Okay, we'll get to Ambati in just a second. So let's talk for a moment about a kos. A kos is not something that you put on the fire. You put a boiling pot on the fire that's full of hot water, or a kettle, and then from that kettle you pour into a kos, into a cup. That cup is a kli sheni. Says Beis Hillel, when do I apply the principle Tatoi Govar and I can't pour hot, cold into hot? That's only in a Kli Rishon. So take for example the case that we had in that Mishnah of a hot kettle, and you took it off the fire, let's say you emptied it of its contents, and now you pour cold water into that hot kettle. Well, if you don't pour enough of a volume at one shot, then a smaller volume of cold water will be heated up by the kettle. That's because the kettle is called a Kli Rishon. The kettle itself was heated on the fire. But a kos is a Kli Sheni. You pour from your Kli Rishon into a cup, and now the hot water is in a Kli Sheni. You and I may say, well, I put a thermometer in the water, and guess what? It's boiling hot. But it doesn't matter. The Halacha sees this again. This is not a Tzuras Bishul. This is not that concept of Bishul according to the Torah law, because it's in a klisheni and a mavashel. Avol bambati. When it comes to an ambati has the status of a kli rishon. Now you may ask me, Vusepis, why should a bathtub have the status of a kli rishon? That's a little bit paradoxical, is it not? Well, we can talk about water that was heated up in a tub. In other words, these are large tubs, or let me give you another example, because again, it's hard for us in contemporary life to imagine that water in a hot tub is being heated up by fire. Again, because we don't have that mentality of the Beis Merchatzos, you know, the bathhouses of the olden times, where they actually heated up water in a bathtub from fire that came through the vents underneath the bath. But we could talk about, for example, something like Chamei Tveria. And if you recall, Chamei Tveria is called Toldas HaEsh, or Toldas HaUr. And you could be Mavashel Do'oraisa, Bishel Do'oraisa, and Chamei Tveria. So let's say I collected Chamei Tveria in a bathtub, then that water would be a Kli Rishon. Again, this is complicated, so don't ask me any questions about this. But let's just grant the premise, if you don't mind, just so we get through the daf today, that you can have a bathtub that's a Kli Rishon. If a bathtub is a Kli Rishon, and you've got boiling hot water in a bathtub, then Beis Hillel will prohibit pouring cold water into a hot bathtub. And that's what he says, Aval Bambati, Chamin Litoch Tzonen. If let's say you the water in the bathtub cooled off at some point and you want to pour hot water into the bathtub in order to warm up a little bit the water in the bathtub, that's okay. Why? Because the bathtub is cold. However, let's say the bathtub is boiling hot. And we said before that an Ambati is a Kli Rishon, the Lo Tzonein L'toch Chamin. So Beis Hillel is very loyal to the principle of Tatoi Govar. He omits Tatoi Govar in the case of a Kli Sheni. But when we get to a Kli Rishon, then we apply the principle of Tatoi Govar straight through. We're going to allow you to pour hot water into cold water, but not the reverse, because when the cold water goes into the hot water in a Kli Rishon, the hot water will heat up the cold water. For Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Oser, what does that mean, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Oser? He says it's Asur. And Omer Rav Nachman Alochik Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. So, you know, we can't ignore Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh because Rabbi Nachman says we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. So the Gemara is now going to embark upon a study of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh to try to figure out exactly what he meant to say when he says Asur. So first we're going to start with Rabbi Yosef, and he has a Hava Mina, and Abai's going to jump on this. He's going to try to reject this based on a Brisa of Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Yosef lemeimar Seifel Hareyu Kambati. Now, again, it's a little bit different in our times, but there is a certain similarity. And back at the time of Chazal, when they washed their hands and their face, they did so with something called a seifel. A seifel is a kind, you could call it a large cuss or you call it a small bathtub. I mean, it depends on your perspective. But Rav Yosef calls it a smaller bathtub. And Sovel Lemeimar Seifel Harei Hu Kambati. That we have to treat a Seifel, this large basin, like a bathtub. And what that means is that technically, although a Seifel is certainly a Kli Sheni, it's not like an Ambati, which we said before, you could heat up an Ambati from fire and heat that comes below the Ambati. That's not so in the case of a basin, of a Seifel. But nevertheless, the Rabbanon, according to Rav Yosef, upgraded the status of a Seifel and considered it like an Ambati. Because of the large volume of hot water in this basin, it's not like a kus, it's not your classic Kli Sheni, and since it's designated for bathing, again, not bathing the entire body, but parts of the body in hot water, so your impetus would be to keep that water in the basin as hot as possible. Otherwise, it's going to cool off too quickly. So you're going to pour masses amount of hot, boiling hot water from a Kli Rishon into a Seifel. And therefore, the Rabbanon gave it the status of a Kli Rishon, which would mean that you would not be allowed to pour cold water into a Seifel, according to Rav Yosef. Now again, if you go back to Beis Hillel for a moment, Beis Hillel says that in a Kli Sheni, like a Kos, you're allowed to pour cold water into hot water, and there's no problem of Tatoi Govar, because it's a Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni is not Mavashel. And that same logic, that same principle should apply equally well to a Seifel. But no. Rav Yosef says, the Rabbanon upgraded the status of a Seifel L'chumra and considered a Seifel like an Ambati, as if it were a Kli Rishon, because it's very similar to an Ambati in that it's boiling hot water that is designated for bathing, again, partially part of your body, but bathing nevertheless. Amale Abaye. But what are we going to do with Rabbi Chiya? Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya had a brisa that says Seifel Eino Kambati, and Rabbi Yosef cannot argue against the brisa. So Rabbi Chiya was one of the last of the Tanoim, and he would bring brisos from the Tanoim, and you can't argue against that brisa. And the Braisa of Rav Chiya says explicitly, Seifel Eino Kambati, meaning a Seifel has the status, which it really is, of a Klisheni. So now the Gemara goes into an analysis of the Hava Mina of Rav Yosef. Ulemai Desalke Daitach Meikara. According to Rav Yosef's original thought, that Seifel Areyu Kambati, that Seifel has a status of a Kli Rishon. And not only that, Omer of Nachman, Halachik Rav Shimon ben Asya. So this whole issue here of Shimon ben Asya is not just theoretical, but it's practical. Now let's combine these two factors together. A, we're going to consider a basin as a Kli Rishon. And we're not going to allow you, according to Rav Yosef's Havamina, to pour cold water into a Seifel. Because we're going to apply the principle that always applies to a Kli Rishon of Tatoi Gavar. And at the same time, we're going to paskin halacha l'maisa like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Now Rav Shimon ben Manasseh would seem to prohibit pouring hot water into cold water. Now that has to do with what's going to come around the bend, that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh accepted the principle of Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai, if you recall, were of the opinion that when we get to a Kli Rishon, then we have to prohibit a Kli Rishon in both directions, whether it's hot into cold or cold into hot. So let's talk about hot into cold. Now what happens is that on Shabbos, again, this was a braisa that we learned back on Chaf Tes Amid Beis, we were allowed to wash our hands, our face, or our feet in boiling hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. But what they used to do is, when they had this boiling hot water, they would pour it into a basin from a Kli Rishon, right? Let's say Erev Shabbos, you leave your kettle that's full of hot boiling water on a fire. Again, whether it has to be a garuf or a katum, or it could even be an open fire, that's a machlokas Chananya and the Chachamim. But you left boiling hot water in a kettle on the fire, on the blech, on Erev Shabbos, and now on Shabbos, you could take this water that was heated up to a boiling point on Erev Shabbos, pour it into a basin, and wash your hands and your face and your feet. But you're not going to do that, because the water is boiling hot. You can't put boiling hot over your face or on your hands, you'll burn yourself. So what you want to do is, you want to cool off the water in this basin, which is boiling hot, by pouring cold water into the basin. And that was what they did back in the time of the Gemara. This was a very known, widespread custom. So the Gemara says, "L'b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin leka." Who we have no possibility. We cannot allow, as was customary, to pour cold water into a basin of hot boiling water, which was again common practice in the day, in order to take, you know, the hot water and remove at least that boiling point so that you could put your face into the basin or your hands into the basin. But that should be prohibited. Why? Because Rav Yosef holds that Sefel Hareu Kambati, and the Sefel now is upgraded to the status of a Kli Rishon, and we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says that when it comes to a Kli Rishon, we prohibit it in both directions, whether or not it's hot water into cold water or vice versa. So let's say, for example, you had a basin of cold water. Now you take a basin of hot water, and you want to pour the basin of hot water into the cold water in order to take the boiling point off the hot water so that you'll be able to put your hands into it without burning yourself. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Mi sovar Rabbi Shimon aseifa koi, areisha koi. You think that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh when he was paskening l'chumra, and it says Reb Shimon Asya Oser, he was going on the last piece in the Mishnah, the last piece before his statement, meaning on the kula of Beis Hillel. And Reb Shimon Asya is rejecting that kula, and he's going to forbid hot water into cold water, which means that Rav Shimon ben Asi, reflecting the sheet of Beis Shammai, is going to tell you that in the case of a Kli Rishon, forget about Tatoi Govar. We'll apply the principle of Eloi Govar as well. And you can't pour hot water into cold water. Then we're in deep trouble. If you can't pour hot water into cold water, and a Seifel has the status of an Embati, of a Kli Rishon, you will not be able to cool off the water in your basin, the hot boiling water in your basin, by pouring it into cold water. But no, that's not what Rav Shimon ben Manasseh was saying. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh was going back our Reisha Koi. Let's go back to the Reisha. Now it says the following, that Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai say that in a Kli Rishon, we suspend the halach of Tatoi Govar, and you're not allowed to pour hot water into cold water. Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel say that even the case of cold water into hot water is going to be permitted, but only in the case of a Kli Sheni. In the case of a Kli Rishon, then we're going to distinguish between hot into cold and cold into hot. Against Beis Hillel. Against Beit Shammai, excuse me, because Beit Shammai doesn't accept that distinction. For Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Oser Tzonein L'Tochamin. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh would hold that if you want to pour Tzonein L'Tochamin, that's going to be Oser. However, let's say you want to pour Chamin L'Toch Tzonein, and you want to accept the shita of Tatoi Govar, that Rav Shimon ben Asya would accept. His problem is only Tzonein L'Tochamin. And in what sense is he arguing against Beis Hillel? In the case of a Kli Sheni, you remember the Beis Hillel say that Tzonein L'Tochamin, in the case of a Kos, is Mutter. And Beit Shammai said that Tzonein L'Tochamin, which, if it would have been in a Kli Rishon, would be a Molochet or Rice of Bishul, because of Tatoi Govar. In a case of Kli Sheni, it's Asur Mirabanan. Comes along Rav Shimon, and he says, you know what? That's a problem. I'm not going to accept the Kula of Beis Hillel. I'm going to prohibit Tzonein L'Toch Chamin. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. You're talking about a Kli Sheni, and you're forbidding pouring cold water into hot water in a Kli Sheni. I'm sorry. Let me go over that one more time, just to make sure I got it right. If you're telling me that in a Kli Sheni you're not allowed to pour, I think I got it wrong, you're not allowed to pour cold water into hot water. In other words, we're going to transpose the principle of Tatoi Govar and apply it into a Kli Sheni, is Lema Rabbi Shimon ben Asya Diomar Kibet Shammai? That's a little bit strange. How could it be that Rabbi Shimon ben Asya is paskening like Beit Shammai? We know that whenever we have Machlok Shim Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, we always pasken like Beis Hillel. Hachi Kamar. This is what Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh meant to say. Lo Nechleku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel Bedover Zeh. There was never a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai regarding cold water into hot water. We said that Beis Hillel, in a case of a Kli Sheni, is not going to apply the principle of Tatoi Govar. You can pour cold water into hot water. No. Rav Shimon ben Asya says that as far as a Kli Sheni is concerned, if it's a case of Tatoi Govar and you want to pour cold water into hot water, that's usur even according to Beis Hillel. And if that be the case, then we're going to reinterpret the machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, And we're going to have to say that in a klisheni, Beis Hillel would, although he agrees that it's prohibited to pour cold water into hot water in a klisheni, but nevertheless, if it's hot water into cold water, then Beis Hillel will allow it, and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh paskins like Beis Hillel. Omar Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yoshua. Chazinale leRava delo kapid amana. We saw that Rava halacha lemaisa had no problem with a klisheni, and that would apply even to a sefel, even to a wash basin that has hot water in it. Nevertheless, you're allowed to pour cold water into hot water in a klisheni, including a seifel. And he based himself, Miritani Rabbi Chia, no sein adam kiton shalmayim litoch seifel shalmayim. And right now the Gemara understands, before it changes its mind, that what it means is he's allowed to pour from a flask of water, cold water, into a basin of hot water. In other words, even if the water in the basin is hot, you're allowed to pour cold water into it. Hence, Rava was mekil, and he allowed you to pour cold water into hot water in a secondary vessel, even in a klisheni, that's a seifel. Amalei Rav Huna l'Rav Ashi, that's not what it says in the Braisa Rabbi Chiya. The Braisa Rabbi Chiya is not talking about pouring cold water into hot water. Dilma shani osim de mifsak kli. What Rabbi Chiya allowed in his Braisa was to take a flask that has cold water in it and submerge it into hot water in a klisheni. And the reason he allowed that is because the walls of this ketone, of this flask, would separate between the hot water and the cold water. But how do you know that Rabbi Chiya would allow you to take cold water and pour it directly into hot water in a klisheni when there's a direct contact between the cold water and the hot water? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers Rav Huna's question, and he says, Ma'ara is miloshen irui. Meaning, you should read the Braisa Ma'ara Adam or Ma'ara Adam Kiton Shalmaim Lutok Sefel Shalmaim. Not the way we have it, Nosein. Take out the word Nosein and substitute the word Ma'ara for Nosein, which means that Rabbi Chiya and his Braisa permits pouring cold water into hot water, ben chamin litoch tzonein, that's less of a chidush, because of tatoi gover, but tzonein litoch chamin, because it's a klisheni, you're allowed to pour hot water, you're allowed to pour cold water into hot water in a klisheni. Now the laws of klisheni change depend upon what you're trying to cook. Until now, we were cooking water in a klisheni, and we said that that doesn't constitute bishul. Now the Mishnah is going to talk about other dinim of a kli rishon and a klisheni. Ha'ilfas va'kedera, those are two words that refer to a kli rishon. Now, there are two categories of a kli rishon. There's a kli rishon that's now on the fire is active, and then there's a kli rishon that was husar me'al gabei eshah, was taken off the fire, but you did not pour the contents into a klisheni. Is therefore, since it has the status of a kli rishon, lo yitein lesochan tavlin. Okay. Now, I skipped one word, and I did it deliberately because I want to call it to your attention. It says Shaviron Mirusachin. What this means is that he took the ilfas, which is a frying pan, or a kedei, which is a cooking pot, and he removed it from the fire, but Mirusachin, while the contents of the kedeira are boiling hot. So we have two conditions that are being met. Number one, it's a kli rishon. Number two, it's boiling hot. Is lo yitein letochan tavlin. You cannot pour spices into a kli rishon. Again, this is something you'd have to do before Shabbos, but on Shabbos it's too late. Because the kli rishon, as long as the contents are still boiling, will cook the tavlin. And this is a big chiddush, because tavlin, spices, are considered halacha as food items that are very difficult to cook. It takes a long time to cook them. The Gemara is going to give another example of very tough meat. Also takes a long time to cook. So the chiddush is that as long as this ilfis and the kedera are a kli rishon, and not only that, they're merusachim, then even something like chamet, like tavlin, which usually takes a long time to cook, would be a violation of cooking. Now again, is this d'oraisa or it's d'rabbanan? That's a gigantic issue amongst the rishonim. We'll go with those rishonim who say that this is a d'oraisa, and the reason for it is A, we're talking about a kli rishon, and B, merusach. The Mishnah continues on daf mem beis amid beis. I will know, saying what you're allowed to do, l'toch hakara or l'toch hatamchui. Now we're talking about a kara or a tamchui. These are two types of utensils that were never on the fire. Their status is that of a kli sheni. And these kind of bowls, you can add spices even if the food was just taken off the fire, it was poured into this bowl, the food is still very, very hot, but you're allowed to pour spices into this bowl. And of course, the question we have to ask here is, what about salt? What about other things? Are there any things other than spices which we allow to pour into a kli sheni when it's merusachim, when it's very, very hot? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lakol Hu Nosen, even in the case of spices which take a long time to cook, and even though it's a kli sheni, chutz mi davar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir, if you have a tavshil that's very acidic, it's very vinegary, and it has in it fish brine or vinegar, then that speeds up the process of bishul, even in a kli sheni. So that normally you would be allowed to add spices into a kli sheni, but there is such a thing as a kli sheni, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's very active and quickly speeds up the process of bishul, such that it's got tzir or chometz, and that speeds up the intensity of the heat and the propensity for bishul, such that even tavlin, which normally take a long time to cook, and even though we're talking about a kli sheni, we're talking about a bowl, a kara, nevertheless, you're not allowed to do it. Iboilu the Gemara asked Rabbi Yehuda, Reisha koi ulakula, o dilma sefer koi ulachumra. How do we understand Rabbi Yehuda? Two possibilities. The first possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda is going back to the Reisha, and the Reisha says that, let's go back to the Reisha. The Reisha says, lo yitein letochan tavlin, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, lakolu nosein, meaning you're allowed to put tavlin even into a kli rishon, like the case of the ilfus and the kedera, and we don't have to worry about tavlin cooking in a kli rishon. Again, this is very odd, because we have a principle that kli rishon is mevashel. So we'll see that the exception to that rule is tavlin, according to this interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, which is eventually the one that we're going to accept. However, Rabbi Yehuda makes one stipulation. I'm going to allow you to put tavlin, spices, into a kli rishon, that's very hot, but only on the condition that there's no fish brine in it. Because fish brine in a Kli Rishon now intensifies the heat of a Kli Rishon, such that even spices, which take a long time to cook, will cook in that case. Or perhaps, Asefakoi Ulechumra. We're dealing with the case of a Kli Sheni, and in a case of a Kli Sheni, the Mishnah said that you're allowed to cook anything in a Kli Sheni, meaning there's no cooking in a Kli Sheni. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda Lechumra, and he says, no, there's such a thing as a Kli Sheni that could be Mavashel, that even in a Kara or a Tamchui, there will be Bishel. And when is that? When it's a Dover Sheyesh Bo Chometz Vitzir. And Chometz Vitzir, says Rabbi Yehuda, can activate a Kli Sheni, and it could be Mavashel. And therefore you would not be allowed to introduce spices into a Kli Sheni if the Kli Sheni has vinegar or fish brine. Toshma, I have a conclusive evidence here. The Sanyu have a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lechol Ilfisin Hunosein, Lechol Akaderos Roschos Hunosein, Chutz Midover Sheyesh Bo Chometz Vitzir. We see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil, and he allowed you to add anything, even spices, to a Kli Rishon that's boiling hot, with the only exception in the case of a Kli Rishon that has Chometz and Seir. Now the Gemara, having come to a definite conclusion based on this price about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is Aresha Koy Lekula, the Gemara now wants to know what's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Sovar Rav Yosef Lememar, Rav Yosef thought that Melach Harehu Kitavlin, that Melach is something that would not cook even if you add the salt to something that's hot, unless it's a Kli Rishon. But Kli Sheni Lo Bashla, you can add salt to a secondary vessel. So let's say you had a soup on the fire, and you pour this soup into a Kli Sheni. We don't usually do that because we use a spoon, but let's say he doesn't use a spoon. He would pour directly from his pot into a bowl. He would be allowed to add salt to his bowl according to Rav Yosef. Omale Abai, I can't accept what you said, because Tani Rabbi Chia, we have a Braisa Rabbi Chia, Melach Eino Kitavlin, Debeklisheni Nami Boshla, that although we said in the case of spices, it all depends upon whether it's a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, went a step further, he allowed it even in a Kli Rishon. That's as far as spices are concerned. But Melach, says Rabbi Chia, Eino Kitavlin, Melach is something that's very easily cooked. Debekli Sheni Nami Bashela. So you can only add salt into a Kli Shlishi, but not into a Kli Sheni, because salt has the status of Kali Abishel. You remember that we once spoke about Daga Ispinin, a certain kind of a fish, like a herring. And we said that cooks even in Irui, in a case of Irui Kli Sheni. But we're not saying that you would pour a Kli Sheni onto salt, but rather putting salt into a Kli Sheni is a problem. Upliga de Rav Nachman, the Omer Rav Nachman, Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra de Torah. Rav Nachman has the exact opposite opinion about salt. Not that salt is Mikalia Bishula, that's very easily cooked even in a Kli Sheni, but on the contrary, salt is like the meat of a shar. A shar is a male cow, and that kind of meat is very tough, and it takes a long, long time to cook. And therefore, according to Rav Nachman, Rashi says, you'd be allowed to add salt in a Kli Rishon, but only if it's Husar Me'al Gabi Ha'esh. We don't add anything into a Kli Rishon when it's on the fire. But if you take the Ilfis off the fire, you can add salt according to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman holds that, on the contrary, salt is something that's very hard, very difficult to cook. Ika diamre, we have a different transmission. Omar Rav Yosef lememra, Sover Rav Yosef lememra melach, harei hu kitavlin. It was Rabbi Yosef who thought that melach has the status of tavlin, the b'kli rishon bishla b'kli sheni lo bashla. It could cook in a kli rishon, but not in a kli sheni. Omar le'abayi, toni Rav Chia, melach eino kitavlin. Typically, Rishon Nami Lo Boshla. You're allowed to add, according to the Brisa of Rav Chia in the second transmission, salt into a Kli Rishon once the Kli Rishon was taken off the fire. Vahainu the Omer of Nachman, and this version of the Brisa of Rav Chia will support the Shita Lalocha of Rav Nachman. That Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra Datura, that salt will not cook easily. On the contrary, salt needs a longer period of time for cooking. And now we get to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to focus on the laws of Muktzah, meaning are you allowed to take a non-Muktzah Kli and designate it on Shabbos in such a way that now that Kli becomes Muktzah? And the Mishnah says that's not allowed. A nosnin kli, you're not allowed to take a vessel, a receptacle, which is not muktzah, and place it tachas haner, and what's your interest in putting it under the ner? Lekabel boes ha-shemen, there is shemen shenotef, there is oil that will drip out of the ner, and you want to collect that oil. Also, you may want to protect the, you know, the floor or the table or whatever it might be from getting dirty, soiled by the oil. And you're not allowed to do this. Why? Because you're taking something that's not muktzah, and now you're going to make it into muktzah, because the oil that comes out of the nair is muktzah. Now again, you have to assume that the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is muktzah with regard to the oil that drips out of the nair. V'im nisanua mibojo mutar, you're allowed to set this up on Erev Shabbos, and that's okay, because to change the status of non-muktzah into muktzah is something that was prohibited on Shabbos itself. On Erev Shabbos there's no laws of muktzah, and if this is the way that you want to collect your oil, so that you'll use the oil after Shabbos, that's okay. V'ein ni osin mimena, but we don't benefit from the oil, l'fi she'eino mina muchan, because the oil was not prepared on Erev Shabbos, meaning it's muktzah. The oil is muktzah. And once again, this would seem to reflect the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that accepts muktzah. Rabbi Shimon holds that if the oil drips down from the nair, that would not be muktzah. Omer Rav Chisda, afal pisha omru ein nosnin kli tachas tarnagolas lekabel beit sasa. You're not allowed to take a utensil that is not muktzah and place it under the body of a rooster. The rooster is about to hatch to lay an egg. The egg itself is muktzah, that's called nolad. It's a branch of muktzah. And now by taking this kli and placing it underneath the tarnagoles, when the egg falls into the kli, it rolls into the kli, then we're going to have a change in status of this utensil. Now it becomes muktzah, that we're not allowed to do. I will kofa olav kli shaloti shaver. But what you're allowed to do is, if you're afraid that this egg is going to be stepped upon, then you're allowed to cover it and protect it by putting a kli on top of it, because the kli now is not becoming muktzah. It's only becoming muktzah if it's what's called a basis ledavar aser, if he has an egg inside of it. But if you're covering the egg, then the kli is not muktzah. Omar Rabba, my taima de Rav Chisda. Rabba wants to know what logic underlies Rav Chisda's distinction between a kli lekabelas a beitz and a kli on top of a beitz a kofel of kli. Kasavar tarnagolas asuya lahatzil beitzasa bi ashpa. Now, ashpa is a kind of a dangerous position for an egg. Maybe it's on an incline, the egg is going to fall off, and it might break. No, I'm sorry. Not on an incline. Beitzasa bi ashpa means a heap of garbage. And when you have a rubbish bin, then people heap on more rubbish and more rubbish, and eventually they're going to break the egg. So the egg is in a very dangerous position. You want to get it into a kli as soon as you can, so it doesn't go into the rubbish. But ein asuya lahatil beitzasa b'makom midron. But it's not commonplace for a rooster to lay an egg on an incline, that's called makom midron, where the egg will roll off and break. Okay, what does this have to do with Rav Chisda? I'm sorry, what does this have to do with Rav Chia? So the Gemara says, Hatzola mitsuya hitiru, Hatzola she'ena mitsuya lo hitiru. The Rabbanan made leniencies in order to save the egg. And they only do so when it's very statistically probable that the egg will be destroyed. So if you're going to put a kli underneath the rooster so that the egg doesn't fall into the ashpa, that's called hatzola mitsuya. That's a common kind of hatzola. However, if you're worried about a case where the egg is going to roll down off an incline, and therefore you want to put a kli there that it should, you know, catch the egg before it hits the ground by law of gravity, right? That's called atzola she'ena mitsuya. We're not going to be flexible about that. Again, as far as kofel of kli, that's a whole different story, because in kofel of kli, he doesn't make the kli into muktzah. But in the first case of hatzola, which is kli tachas hatarnagolas, the kabel beit sasa, that's already creating muktzah out of the kli, because now the kli is a base for the egg, and that you're not allowed to do unless it's hatzola mitsuya. Unless the tarnagolas is about to lay an egg into ashpa, and then it'll be absolutely, absolutely crushed. Okay, Rabosai, so now we're up to Esve Abaye, and we're going to have our work cut out for us over Shabbos, because Abaye is going to prove that there's no difference between Atzola Mitsuya and Atzola She'ena Mitsuya. These are fundamental distinctions in the laws of Muktzah. These are not leniencies for the sake of protecting the egg from this kind of Atzola, that kind of Atzola. And that's what we're going to have to pick up in Mirtz Hashem. I don't know, we'll see on Sunday.